You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I am excited about this next hour. So if you've ever had a chance to meet someone who has just changed the culture where he lives, you need to grab hold of that moment and remember it. And I'm in one of those moments right now. So I'm proud to be sitting here in the studio with Charles Mulley, the founder of Mulley Children's Family in Nairobi, Kenya. And Charles has got an amazing, amazing gift for changing lives. But it comes from a background where he is now seeing himself sometimes in the faces of the children that are on the streets, and bringing them in and giving them home and giving them hope and giving them life and giving them a real interest in what it means to live for the Lord and live productively. So without further ado, let me just say, Charles Mulley, thank you for coming to Right Side Radio.
Thank you very much indeed for having me here at the Right Side Radio.
Well, it's a blessing to have you here. I watched, by the way, for our listeners' benefit, you need to take time to watch the Mulley movie. The Mulley movie is amazing. My wife and I watched it recently. I was excited that you were coming, and so I wanted to know the story, and even more excited to have you in studio once I had watched it. But it's an amazing story, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you very much indeed, and I hope that I'm going to share what really my experience in having children from the streets.
Not just a few children, a lot of children. You've got your own family. But wow, what you've done. But let me ask you this. Just let's talk about your testimony that led you to the point that you're doing now. And you've been doing this for what, 25, 35 years?
Indeed, it is 34 years.
34 years.
Yeah, 34 years is gone since I started this ministry. And by then I was 40 years after having gone so many things in life.
Well, you have been through a lot in life yourself. You came from a very extreme poverty, abandonment. Tell us about your early personal story before you ever met the Lord.
When I was a little child, at the age of 4 or 5 years, I lived with my mom and my dad together in a thatched house it was a small one where we lived all together there, and the piece of land that we had, that house was not, it never belonged to my father. And so my father was a drunkard, and he always beat my mother when he came home drunk. And so at the age of 5, 6 years, then I found myself alone, and I realized that I was really abandoned, and I had nobody around me.
I watched the movie, and I cannot imagine what it was like being that age to wake up and find out that everyone was gone and you had been left behind. And that's where you found yourself, right?
Yes, and indeed, lack of food, lack of parental love, lack of school, going to school, clothing and everything. And of course, the accommodation where I could have a place like a child, because I needed all love, I needed all the necessary materials, things that are needed by a child. And so I lived in that kind of state. And of course, I went to school. I spent a few years, and I was staying with my uncle and my grandmother from my mother's side. And later, because even my grandmother was very, very poor, my uncle could not really take care of me. And all the time when I went there, he chased me, and he said that it was not his responsibility. I needed to follow where my mom and my father went. And so I didn't know anything. So I kept on begging, and my life was miserable. when I was 16 years, I remember I had given up in life and I wanted to commit suicide and take away my life, and that I had reached to the wall. And I saw everybody was full of hatred because they could not give me food. And I also remember when I used to go to the farms to dig when I was a grown-up young man, and at the age of 16 years, and I could not get enough. I was getting just very little. And then that day when it came, and I decided to commit suicide, and I was alone, I was asking questions, why do I deserve this kind of life? And I could see that most of the kids, those who went to school with me, they were very well taken care of their families. And I asked myself, why me? And I had a bitterness and about my father and my mom, and that one was almost killing me. And during that time, then a good Samaritan, someone passed by, a young man, and then he saw me. My face was pale, and I had no happiness, and he said hello, and then I never looked at him straight, and because of the my heart was heavy, and I was thinking about taking away my life. So he invited me, he told me just to walk with him. We went to a place nearby where there was a church, and I found many young people were dancing, singing, clapping, and shouting with joy.
Yeah.
The joy, I had nothing. And when always somebody is in his own kind of land, where you are thinking about problems, you are thinking about hatred, you are thinking about bitterness, so you are never, and you never get any happiness. Without joy, then, as a human being, especially youth, it's so hard to be able to live. Then the preacher came with a message, and this message was about the forgiveness of our sin and how Jesus Christ came all the way from heaven and came down because of all and everybody. Whoever gives his life to him should not perish, so he could have eternal life. And
Amen.
Me, I was missing that. I did not know about Jesus. I did not know about anything about Christianity. And so I raised my hand. I remembered the bitterness that I had towards my father, my mom. And that the time I started crying, and I raised my hand and I said, Lord, yes, here I am. And he led me, the pastor led me to come to the salvation and the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was the beginning of a new changed life and a transformation of my life when I was 16 years old.
So let me, what an amazing story. And so I want to make sure that the audience hears with some clarity that you were literally, I mean, you had left your village and you were living in the slums on the streets in Nairobi, I believe, correct?
It was about 80 kilometers away from the city of Nairobi.
And you walked there.
And I walked all that the following day because I had now peace in my heart. And already what was also important was to forgive my father and my mother, and all the bitterness was out of me. So I started thinking again, and I was full of energy, and I walked for 3 days, 3.5 days, all the way to Nairobi to look for a job, or a job that I was not trained for because I had not enough, education.
Yeah.
And so I was begging. People look at me and then they said, well, why are you begging? You are a strong young man. You need to go to work. And then they gave me nothing.
But you met an Indian family. If I remember in the movie, you knocked on the door of a house you didn't know, and an Indian woman came to the door.
Yes.
And they gave you your first job. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. I was knocking, after having begged in the city for money to buy food, I decided to go to the the suburbs where there are nice, good houses. And then I was begging. I was knocking everywhere. And then an Indian lady came out and asked me, "Oh, why are you disturbing us here?" I said, "I have a lot of problem. I have been walking over 3.5 days. I've never eaten anything. I need food. I need a place where I can lay my head. I can sleep. I need, you know, somewhere where I can have this accommodation." And then she asked me, "What kind of a job?" And then I said, "Anything that is available, I was ready to do."
Well, and one of the things, and we're going to take a break here in just a minute, but one of the things that I really enjoyed in the movie was she gave you your first job, and then not long after, she must have seen something in you. She and her husband decided to even make you a manager because you began to actually run their farm. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's where you met your wife, too. Is that correct?
Yes, you are very right.
Yeah, which very made all of it better at that point, right? how much time we got, Boone? We doing all right? About a minute? Charles, we only have about a minute before the break, but your life had gone from tragedy and poverty to now you are feeling a sense of relief. Your new relationship with the Lord is in place, and you actually have a job. When we come back from this break, what I'd like to do is take it to the next step, because you then began a series of businesses and opportunities that made you one of the wealthiest men in that part of the country, if I'm not mistaken. So hang on, we're going to come right back from a break. All right, folks, listen, I'm telling you, if you haven't seen the Mully movie, you've got to. It may change your life. It's changing Kenya. In the meantime, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Well, I'm in studio right now with someone who I have admired from afar, and now I get a chance to just, you know, be a groupie right here in the studio and have a chance to talk with Dr. Charles Mully, the founder of MCF, Mully Children's Family. He is literally changing the face of Kenya, and he's doing so, and in part it's because of his love for the Lord, but it's also because God has used his own background. We just talked about that a moment ago. Charles, listen, you came from literally nothing to then you became extremely productive, and you became one of the wealthiest men in that part of the country. You had a beautiful home. You and your wife, Esther, is it Esther? Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, Esther. That's his my wife.
And you have 8 children of your own. Tell us about life before MCF.
Yeah, life before MCF was really great. And I was a man of great wealth after having really experienced a lot of problem during those time when I was young. And just to take you a little bit behind a bit is when I started doing working in the farm, as I was, given the work to be overseer and then promoted to become a manager. And then I got some money. I bought a vehicle. That vehicle was for me and my wife. And during even that time, I spotted a very, of course, a beautiful woman, and that I felt God leading me to her. And when I looked at her, then I said, this will be the mother of my children. Yeah. And that's how God chose that lady, and we are now 52 years married together.
That's great.
And then, the life of doing business was so great because having started with the transport company of matatus and then buses, and then later was appointed to become distributor of oil products as well as gas in part of our country, Kenya, even some of the lorries that used to come from Burundi and the Congo to pick some oil for selling, also in Uganda. And I had also insurance company and real estate. So that one gave me a platform now to be able to meet the great men and women of Kenya. Even I remember many times meeting the president of Kenya, the former president, those many years. And, dining with him. And it was really great. And I cannot forget those days that we used to go also for holidays. And I used also to be in the church. And I loved going to the church and with my children. And after that, then we go to have a place, you know, to have lunch. And the children would go for swimming and so forth. So that time was really great ever.
I'd heard you in the movie. I heard your children, each one, describe what life was like. They talked about loving their schools. They talked about loving their life. They had you had dinner at the table every night with your family. You entertained people in your home, and it was really something to see everywhere you had been, and now what you were able to achieve, despite the fact that you had such a disadvantaged background. Now you literally are dining with the president of the country, and your family is wealthy. But how much time we have, Boomer? There was a place in the movie where you went into town in your car, and some young men on the street, some street boys, a lot like you had been at one point in the past, living on the streets, that somebody stole your vehicle. And I remember you saying you could see the hardness in their faces, and it had an impact on you. So if you don't mind, open that subject, but we're going to take a break here in just a minute, and we'll come right back to it, okay?
Thank you. Thank you. I would like to say that it was really difficult. When I moved to Nairobi to do some business, and when I was looking for parking, I found a parking in a bay, and there were street boys who came around, and they were begging, asking me to give them money. I never gave them money because I thought giving money would encourage them to take drugs. And so for that reason, I could not really give them money, but I left my car.
You left your car, and somebody got your car. Well, I'll tell you what, Charles, we're gonna come back in a minute, because there came a pivotal moment somewhere in that time frame. In the movie, your story told, and I can't wait for the audience to hear it, because you and God wound up going on a long drive, and you sat by the side of the road and dealt with the Lord for a while. And it changed your entire life, changed your family's life, and really it's beginning to change much of Kenya. So if you'll hold on during the break, we'll come right back and continue to tell your story. And I really appreciate you being here today. All right, Boom. So we're going to take this break right now. And folks, I hope, by the way, the movie is called The Mully Movie. I'll say that again for you right now. The book is called Father to the Fatherless. Charles Mully is known internationally. And the idea that we have him here in studio is really a pretty big deal. But when you hear the story here in a moment, when you look at the story here in a moment, you're going to wind up seeing, yeah, and by the way, you can go to mcfus.org/Mully Movie and see it there. I also watched it streaming on Amazon. It's on most of the streaming networks, but you can find out more about that movie, but you're going to hear the story from the man here in just a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. And I mean, this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Back here in studio with Charles Mulley from Mulley Children's Family, a ministry, an outreach, an organization that's, I mean, just like, look, y'all, I'm not kidding when I say this. I watched the movie last night, and when you see kids coming from nothing and then becoming doctors and becoming members of society that are changing lives in their own right and becoming, you know, well-ordered members of their own families and looking back on their time with Mulley Children's Family, we're talking tens of thousands of kids have been saved, but it didn't just happen overnight. It's been something that's been building now for 35 years. Charles, thank you again for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, absolutely. It's an honor. And so, listen, you went from nothing and from an abused and disenfranchised background, begging on the streets, but then you met the Lord, and then you got a job, and then you had a family, and then you became extremely wealthy, and then one day you saw the faces of some other young men on the street, and then God placed a new calling on your life. Tell us about that.
Yes, I remember that time when I was in Nairobi, and therefore I parked the vehicle. When I came back, I found that the car was not there. Yeah. And I remembered also they were begging, and that really switched on so much on the problem of the street children and myself being one of them. I had forgotten completely, like a human being, that I was one of them. And for 3 years, from 1986, when that car was stolen, up to 1989, I had no peace. So in the year 1989, the Lord was knocking into my heart that you are the one who is going to be the father to the fatherless. I will help you. And then I was trying to run away from him. But the 1989, November 17th, that was the day when I could not walk anymore. And I was seated in my office in Eldoret. And then I could not walk anymore. All in a sudden, I took my car and I was driving going home only to get lost. And after that 5 minutes, I found myself on the way to Uganda. And therefore, I got shocked, and I started crying in the car for 4 hours. And I was asking God, why? What is that you want to teach me? I was a very poor. You raised me up. And the voice was responding all the time, once and once again. Because I was thinking about my own family, about myself. I knew about how to live without food or the kind of extreme poverty. And I asked God, am I going to go to that kind of life, really? And that's what I was trying to refuse for 3 years. And then there was that voice that came, that I'll be with you. I will help you. I'll support you. And whatever you do is not for you, it's for me, and said the Lord. And I said, after those 4 hours in the car, yes, Lord, I'm going to obey. And that moment in the year 1989, November 17th, was again another platform being opened my eyes, and then I never looked up anything. I forgot about my wealth, everything which had accumulated as wealth. And I went back, drove, and I met my wife during the dinner. And all my children were seated around. And then I told them, I have a good news to you. Then they were all of them now looking at me. What kind of good news, Dad, us? And then I said, this is what I have. I will never work for money any longer. And therefore, this is the last day. And tomorrow, I'll go to the streets. I'll give life and be there to transform their life.
But if I saw right in the movie, the family was not exactly excited the first time you told them you were going to sell everything, never work for money again, and begin working to save children on the streets. I mean, Esther was a wonderful, godly woman to still love you after that night.
Even today. I tell you, I've gone all over the world. And during that time when you got married, 52 years, I cannot ever say I've met a woman like my wife Esther. She's so lovely, understand. And the Lord moved in a very special way to convince her that her husband, me, Charles, was doing the right thing. For women in this world, even today, your woman or your wife and the children to be able to follow on one man's vision. Wow. But it is life or death.
It was amazing to and by the way, in the movie, folks, if you watch the Mully movie, and I hope you do, it's free to stream. You can get it online easily. But in the movie, the thing that you're going to see is it's not just Charles telling the story of MCF. It's not just children who were rescued telling the story. It's his own family talking about what they all gave up to do this mission. And the entire family went from being one of the wealthiest families to suddenly you were bringing home children every single day, and the house was loaded up with screaming children that were running up and down the hallways, and life was turned upside down. But at the same time, there was joy.
You know, one of the things is that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And out of that, you know, in the car, the Lord filled me with a great joy and hope in Christ Jesus. And from that time, he changed completely me, not to think about myself, not to think about on my biological family, but to think about those young people, those women who are suffering in the street, those who are abused sexually, and also girls and boys, those who suffer, and the children, those who have been thrown into dustbin, who will be their father. And the Lord was really making that voice, who is going to meet the needs of this. And then I said, yes, Lord. And therefore, all and everything belong a kind of a family now, a project. And even though after sometimes they were completely going backsliding and seeing that I'm becoming envy of what I was giving 100% my love to the children and spending a lot of time with those children who are very dirty, bring them dirty to our house. But it took a long time, but the Lord God really saved them. And one by one, they were able to catch up the vision.
There were several things that struck me at this part of your story in the movie, and one of them was that your house filled up, and you had bunk beds in all the rooms, and children sleeping sometimes two to a bed, and but they were being fed, and they were being clothed, and they were being washed, but they were being loved, and then you wound up having to, you outgrew where you were, so the children helped build onto the house. But then you wound up thinking, well, we're still out of room. At one point, you had to go out to other land and begin building from nothing. Mm-hmm. And you all built it by scratch, and it's beautiful. But then, didn't you have like upwards of 1,000 children at some point?
Well, that that is really amazing. And the fire that God ignites in the life of people, those who follow him, and particularly when he want to pass a message to the whole world, he start with his power. And it doesn't mean that you are there to enjoy. You are there to really to face the challenges. And these challenges bring us what we call victory and success to build us as we continue with the life. And so going from where we were and I migrated to a new place where there was nothing, totally nothing, not even one house.
Yeah.
And we had to spend our time, outside, it was warm. It's not like here in USA. It was a really warm weather. But we kept on staying outside, and we were doing everything, and we started building our home, MCF, and we continued for many years, even up to now, over the last now 25 years on in that new place.
You built you also had a school.
Yes.
And at some point, MCF's school was one of the highest ranked schools for children in the nation. You built a farm. It's now fully self-sustaining. And aren't you even exporting some of your goods, your farm goods? The story's been amazing. But I think one of the things, and we've only got about a minute or so, but I think one of the things that really got me was you did all this in a place where there was no water. Mm-hmm. And it was dry. And then at one point in the middle of the night, God told you to go out and pray on a piece of ground.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason to believe there's water there except God told you to pray and go stand on that ground. And then you began to dig. And tell that story briefly, if you don't mind.
Yes. This came as a result of when we were completely hopeless and had almost raised up our hand because there was no water around. We had drilled two boreholes, one thousand and 20 feet down.
Oh, wow.
We drilled another one with a machine. We hired a machine from Nairobi. And the other one was at 880
And both were
feet.
Dry.
Both were dry, no water. And then I was crying because 20 of the children were hospitalized. Then three of them died. Oh. And I was crying before the Lord. And one night as I was crying, I remember my wife asking me, "Why are you crying like a baby? Can't you sleep?" That was after midnight. And therefore, God really showed me, walk now. Your problem is what I'm going to show you where the water is. And then I walked. I told my wife, wake up. Then with a kerosene lamp,
yeah,
we walked and walked until 100 meters and then turned 10 meters on the left. And then I stood and then I told my wife, this is the place. It was at night. Around 3 a.m., early in the morning. Then we prayed there, and then the prayer, really out of the prayer, the following day, then I brought all the children together, we prayed, and I told them, this is the place where God has given us water, water for life, water for us, forever.
And folks, as we go to a break, let me just tell you, it's one of the most dramatic pieces of the movie. In a place where there are no wells. It's a part of the country where wells are very rare. And there was no reason except God's intervention to believe that water might be under that particular piece of ground that you walked to in the middle of the night.
Mm.
But the children even helped dig. And at some point soon thereafter, they're splashing in the water. And that water is now irrigating the fields and changing that part of the country. Charles, hang on for a second. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back and we'll put a kind of a wrap up on this discussion. But thank you so much for being here today. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. But I'll tell you somebody who's really saving the world one child at a time. We're here in studio with Dr. Charles Mulley from Kenya, who is, by the way, the story, you can find it in case you didn't hear me say it earlier. The movie is called The Mulley Movie. The book is called Father to the Fatherless. Charles, you know, one of the things that really struck me towards the latter part of the movie was how far your property at MCF has progressed. I mean, now you have the hydroponic farm that is doing such amazing work with the water that God miraculously brought out of the dry ground. This hydroponic farm is acres of acres underneath a roof, and then you're taking that water, turning it into a fishery, and the fishery is feeding people, and then you're planting trees like you planted. How many millions of trees have you planted?
Over the years, we have planted over 20 million trees.
You're changing the environment.
Yes, it's truly. And even to the community, over 5 million trees that we have planted, and also encourage the young people in schools, public schools, private schools, and government schools to plant trees. And it is a club that we offer at the end of the year. Something small to those schools who plant not less than 1 hectare per year.
Well, some of the amazing stories, too, were your own family, who at one point saw everything that they lived comfortably in be sold to start this mission. But now everybody in your family is so into what you're doing that literally you are seeing your own children helping run the operations of the business. Two of your children have married children that were rescued off the streets. But if you don't mind, with the last couple of minutes we have, tell us about how many lives have been touched by MCF's ministry and where you see it going now.
Thank you very much. And let me say that over the last 34 years, I've witnessed seeing over 28,000 young people going through the Muli Children Family Program, well-learned as well as also equipped with the Word of God, and also become reliant. And some of them married and having children. And then also at this time, we have 6,200 children under MCF, Muli Children Family. Wow. On daily basis, we give them food in the morning, lunch and accommodation, free education from kindergarten all the way to grade 12. We have our own schools, high schools, and we also have our college where the children, they train and they be equipped with the knowledge to become self-reliant because they can work, the agriculturist, and then we have those who are learning education, finance, and economics, and so many of this program. And therefore, out of that, then we have also 70 schools, public schools in our country, and whereby we give them food, lunch, every day lunch, which means 29,000 per month, they get free lunch. We supply mains and green beans and cooking fat and so forth to all those schools, and they are able to excel in their performance in school and also come to school because there has been a severe drought in our country, Kenya. Not only that, then the community, most of the time, because 5 years no rain, we have been able to contribute so much in feeding. We call feeding program, and that is to give them raw food that they can cook in their own families. And this is great. God is doing great things and changing Africa, and much more on the transformation. Because myself, my goal is to see many children in our country, in Africa, all over the world, that they get a new change of mind.
Well, I'm going to tell you, and I want to thank you again for being here today. I mean, I know you're in the country right now, meeting with some of your local board members and working on what it takes to sustain this mission. But folks, listen, I hope you've caught a little bit of his heart, because sitting here with him right now, you're listening to one of the most humble individuals who has accomplished so much simply because he said yes when God said go. And you can find, by the way, you can find more out about the Muli movie, about the ministry overall, MCFUS, as in Muli Christian or Muli Children's Family, US.org, MCFUS.org. That's their website. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that movie, if you don't watch it and get moved by it, and because we only talked about a few of the miracles that are in that movie, but the mission is ongoing right now. And Dr. Charles Muli, thank you so much for being here today. God bless you, and may God continue to use you as you do things to change the lives of people everywhere. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Be blessed.
All right, folks, Wow. I'm going to get myself together. We'll come back in for the next hour. In the meantime, y'all stay tuned to Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.